Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording live from the MACV Stand Down. MACV stands for Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, out at the Boy Scout Base Camp at Fort Snelling, where there are lots of veterans out here today, homeless and other veterans seeking help, and a lot of folks providing that help. And we'll get to that in just a moment, but first it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
One of our biggest challenges after more than a decade of multiple deployments and economic hardships has been helping our service members move forward and grow in spite of the adversity they face. Every person is different in the way they react to stress, but resilience is a skill that can be taught. Giving resilience training to our military members and their families provides them with a set of tools to use when dealing with problems in their everyday lives. The Minnesota National Guard has trained master resilience trainers and resilience training assistants throughout our units to teach these important skills to our force. Resilience training focuses on improved problem solving and communication skills, strengthening relationships, and focusing on the positives rather than the negatives in everyday situations. The program addresses five dimensions of soldier fitness: physical, emotional, social, family, and spiritual. Better training is just one of the ways we hope to impact the mental health of our service members. We're also working to change perceptions in our organization so that service members feel comfortable coming forward with their problems without the fear of a stigma or reprisal. Help is out there for our service members and their families. So many programs and organizations exist to help veterans who are struggling. I encourage everyone to reach out and take advantage of these services. Resilient service members make better, stronger leaders for our force.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said, we're out at the Boy Scout Base Camp at Fort Snelling for the MACV Stand Down. One of the things we're talking about today is homeless veterans. And before we meet the president of the MACV, I just want to point out that the Homeless Veteran Registry works by connecting federal, state, county, and nonprofit partners in a shared goal of providing housing and services to veterans and their families. Once a veteran is in the registry, these partners work together in a case management approach to create successful and sustainable housing solutions. Veterans can join the registry directly or be referred. Anyone who knows of a homeless veteran is encouraged to call 1-888-LINK-VET or visit the registry webpage at minnesotaveteran.org. Joining me now is Kathy Vitalis, the President and CEO of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, also known as MACV. Kathy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thank you. It's just a pleasure to be here today on a beautiful day.
Well, you've got a lot of veterans out here, and there's a lot of activity going on, and it's. I want to thank you for finally coming on the show. We've talked to quite a few of your people over the last few years, but we finally cornered you, Kathy.
Oh, it's a delight to be here. Thank you.
Can you tell us what's the mission of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV?
Sure. We're a nonprofit that has been around for 25 years, and our mission is assisting veterans and their families in crisis throughout the state of Minnesota, all 87 counties, those that are homeless or having a crisis that could lead to homelessness. And we do that in three areas: employment, housing, and legal assistance.
So you've got a lot of resources, and you've got a lot of volunteers, I understand.
Yes, throughout the year, especially at these stand-down events. We do 10 of them around the state. This is our largest one. It's 2 days, but we have many, many volunteers that come forward and help our mission.
Well, Kathy, let's talk about that, the stand-down. I've had Nathaniel on the show a few times, and we know what it is, but there's listeners on 23 stations around the state tuning in today. Tell us, what is a stand-down? Where'd the name come from? And how long have you been doing it?
Sure. Stand down is a military term, and it means standing back, taking a rest from the battle lines. And stand down as events are nationally held, and I believe the first one was in San Diego over 25 years ago. So in Minnesota, MACV hosts these stand down events, and we've been doing one in the metro area for over 25 years, but we've been organizing it for about the last 11. And that's where we're at today, is at the Boy Scout Base Camp at our Metro Stand-Down.
And there are a lot of veterans coming in and out. We've been here watching your opening ceremony, and and seeing what's going on here. How do you find the homeless veterans? How do you reach out to them to get them here?
Well, in the one thing, just to take a quick step back, our stand-down events are open to all veterans, and we naturally focus our services on those in crisis or homeless, but we have so many different benefits here today that we want everybody to be able to come in, any veteran, and look at the services we have. But how do homeless veterans find us? The very key and foremost way is that they talk to each other. So we've been outreaching in these communities for many, many years. And we go to the shelters, we go where they might be, we get pamphlets out way ahead of time. But it's word of mouth, and it's also working with all of our community partners on getting the word out early.
We're speaking with Kathy Vitalis, President and CEO of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, also known as MACV, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Kathy, there's all kinds of services available in here. I saw some folks over here getting a haircut a little while ago, and there's some legal services upstairs. What kind of things are you doing out here today?
Well, and I think I'll just list a few, but we try to get any kind of service that a veteran might need together in one spot for the one day. So you said meals, VA benefits, claims, clothing, housing providers, public benefits, the haircuts you mentioned, the state DMV is here to help with things, the chaplaincy, employment assistance. We have some employers here today, mental health counseling. Offered by, of course, we have the federal VA is here with a clinic, and they have many services. So it's really when you think of those three pillars that I mentioned of housing, employment, and legal assistance, it's trying to gather all of those sorts of providers in one spot so that they can go around and really take care of an issue that they have in one day.
Now, Kathy, you said this is open to all veterans, but I want to talk a little bit about homeless veterans now. And they come because this is your 11th year, and I'm sure they've told everybody that they're here. But a couple of things that you're trying to do is help clean them up, of course. But then if they had some legal trouble or something that led to them being homeless, there's some court officials here today that can help them with that?
Oh, absolutely, and I think the legal assistance is quite extensive. We have judges here. We have attorneys, so they can actually come in with an issue and get it taken care of, very possibly. So they're looking them up on their, we've got Wi-Fi here, so they're looking them up on their court systems and looking at what their issues are so that they don't have to have paperwork with them. And truly effectuating a change so that they can move something forward or get it completely taken care of.
So you cure that problem, maybe get them some housing, and then try to help them get a job and get back into society and get done with being homeless.
Absolutely. A simple example is a raft of unpaid parking tickets or things that are standing in the way of getting that housing when you get a background check and things like that. So it is trying to clear up those records, get that ready so that they can have a stable housing and employment situation.
And Kathy, I just saw Director Kelly from the VA healthcare system walk by a few minutes ago. We've got VA healthcare personnel out here as well today.
Yes, we do. Along, we've got VHA and VBA well represented here, working on health, mental health, and claims. And also the Vet Center is here as well.
Now, how many veterans do you think are you expecting over this two-day period today and tomorrow?
Well, I can talk about last year that we saw over, I think, 1,100 veterans came through in the 2 days. And this year, we're well on track for the same kind of number. I have some early numbers from today, but I don't want to say numbers yet. But we've seen hundreds come through today.
So it's so far so good. It's a good crowd, and there's a lot of people.
Great outreach. And I've heard several stories of individuals, which is what really gets to my heart as I walk around, getting help, actually getting something that is moving them forward. And it's just wonderful to be a part of that.
Now, what does a veteran need to participate in a stand-down?
They come in, and we've got VBA volunteers actually pulling their eligibility when they walk in the door. So you say you're a veteran, they'll verify your eligibility, and then you come in, and you go where you'd like to see the services.
And Kathy, how many more of these stand-downs are you going to have this year around the state?
We have 10 altogether. We've already done them in Brainerd, Detroit Lakes, and Alexandria, and still to come is Duluth, International Falls, Bemidji, Grand Rapids, Marshall, and Mankato.
You and your staff are busy every year, aren't you?
Extremely. And we have legal services at all of these events as well.
And Kathy, you're smiling like you're just full of energy.
This is my Thanksgiving today. It is the way I give back, and I'm so grateful to be part of an organization that can effectuate these partners coming together.
Well, Kathy, we're going to talk to some legal folks and some people from the VA Medical Center and some volunteers and a story with one of your volunteers that was homeless later in the show. And for our listeners out there, if they want to learn more about MACV, where do they go?
www.mac-v.org. O-R-G. So let me say it one more time.
MACV.
Mac-V.org.
.org.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
We'll have that on our Facebook page so everyone
can
see
you.
It. And Kathy, it's just been a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was Kathy Vitalis, the president and CEO of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, at the stand down from the Boy Scout base camp in Fort Snelling. Please stay with us. We'll be back and talk a lot more about the stand down in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. And I said, as I mentioned in the first segment, we are recording today from the MACV stand down at the Boy Scout Base Camp in Fort Snelling. And it's all about what the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans is putting together and all the resources they've brought out here to help our veterans and our homeless veterans. And joining me now is Sarah Summerstrom, who is with the Vet Law Program and working with the stand down legal section and court. Sarah? Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah, we've seen all kinds of veterans coming in and out here all morning, and there's a pretty good crowd here. And they come in here and they can get all kinds of services, and one of them is if they had some kind of legal issue that's causing them some problems in their life, whether they're employed or whether they're homeless, those kind of things. You've got some people here to help today, don't you?
We do. We have a wonderful team of volunteers. We have attorneys, we have judges, we have law students, we have paralegals and legal secretaries from corporations, law firms, legal aid offices. We have an amazing team of close to 150 volunteers upstairs who are helping veterans with a whole array of civil and criminal legal issues that could be creating barriers to their housing, stability, and employment.
Now, you're an attorney yourself. You graduated from the University of Minnesota Law School?
That is true. I did, yeah.
And you do a little teaching at the University of St. Thomas School of Law.
Little side job, yep.
All right. And now you're working with MACV, and I understand that you were the 2014 unsung hero from the National Coalition of Homeless Veterans for the work on addressing legal barriers to housing and employment stability. So you've been doing this for a while.
This is working on my sixth year of this. It's really an emerging area of focus for the legal profession around the country. And I just got back from Chicago over the weekend at the American Bar Association, where a group of leaders from around the country were talking about how do we replicate legal programs for homeless and at-risk veterans? How do we make sure that the legal barriers aren't preventing them from getting back on their feet and becoming stably housed? Folks know that we need to get people into housing. Folks know we need to find folks jobs. But sometimes it's a legal barrier, whether it's a criminal record that's causing someone difficulty in finding employment or housing, or a child support order that's based on maybe their active duty military pay that's just not what they're making stateside. Oftentimes there are legal issues that play into someone's instability. And so we do what we can with the legal team. We're a small staff, but we have a great number of volunteers. And we run the stand-down events around the state, but we also do legal clinics, both monthly in Minneapolis and around the state, once or twice a year in different regions.
So you help the veterans cure the problem, or help the homeless veterans cure whatever might have helped cause the homelessness so they can get back on their feet again and get back to work and find some housing. And
exactly,
so
and try to help the folks who are on the edge prevent that fall in the first place. It's a lot more productive for us to prevent someone from becoming homeless than trying to solve the problem once it's happened. It's a better use of our resources to make sure they never end up in our program. So we make sure that we engage veterans who may not already be homeless, but maybe teetering on the edge and just need a little support, whether it's related to a civil issue or a criminal issue, really making sure that they know that they have some support on their legal needs.
Now, Sarah, do you actually have some judges out here these 2 days?
We do. We have some wonderful volunteer judges. And one of the really fascinating things about this event that makes it really unique compared to other pro bono events around the state is that we have statewide jurisdiction. So the judges who are here today can resolve cases anywhere in the state of Minnesota. Typically, if somebody had an issue in St. Louis County in Duluth, they would have to go up there to resolve it. We were given permission by the Supreme Court of the state of Minnesota to resolve those issues on site here today and tomorrow.
Judges with power.
I know. Who thought?
Isn't that fun? Now I see there's a whole bunch of people upstairs here working on it. What type of issues have you seen so far?
Well, they're the common issues that we see at a lot of our events, and that's the same at stand downs. We see a lot of folks who need assistance with their child support, and that's just making sure that the order is based on what they can afford to pay. It's not getting them out of their child support obligation. It's making sure that it's right size so that they're not becoming unstably housed because of a child support order. We see a lot of issues with debt collection. A lot of folks don't know that a lot of the benefits that veterans receive are exempt from consumer debt collection. And so if they're spending their money to pay back an old credit card bill from 10 years ago when they were struggling, that money might be better used to pay for their rent and food to make sure that they have a roof over their head. We see a lot of folks who have some fines and fees from periods of their life, perhaps, where they weren't doing as well. There are a lot of folks who can get tickets. Maybe somebody's sleeping in their car. They get a ticket for that, and it stays out there. And the money is owed to the court, and we can help resolve that in favor of community service. So they're assigned community service that they can complete here on site at the event, and it all gets wrapped up with the help of great court admin staff upstairs, and they walk out of here not owing any more money to the court and having that barrier removed.
We're speaking with Sarah Summerstrom from the Vet Law Program, the Stand Down Legal Section in Court on Minnesota Military Radio. Sarah, for the homeless veterans that come in, I would imagine some of them have had maybe lost a job, had some legal problems, maybe had some tickets, some things that started them on a downward spiral. They're coming in here today and they're getting some clean clothes and haircuts and some support. If they come up to you, is the idea to help them clear some of those problems so that once we get them into some housing, then maybe we can get them back to work and start the opposite of that spiral?
It's exactly our goal. And if we can't complete it here on site, we want to make sure that we connect with them so that we can follow up with them after the event. Some things we just can't simply solve on site in a one-day event. But if we stay in touch with them and we make sure to see them at our future events, we at least can let them know that we're trying to help, that we're here to listen to them, we're here to try to answer their questions and get them the resources they need to be able to get back on their feet and stay there.
So get them started on the road back.
Exactly.
All right, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the great work you're doing with the Vet Law Program?
I just want to repeat that it's not possible without the wonderful volunteers we have here. We just have an amazing team, both on the criminal and the civil side, and it's certainly not something when you look up there today that could be done with the three of us who work for MACV in this role.
Sarah, keep up the great work, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Sarah Summerstrom from the Vet Law Program out at the stand down of the Boy Scout Base Camp on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is David Adrianson from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. David, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thank you, Tom.
David, I understand that the VA Medical Center has quite a few personnel out here at the stand down at the Boy Scout Base Camp today.
Yes, excited to be here. This is my fifth year, actually, that the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System has been supporting the event with a VA medical clinic. So I have 48 volunteers out here today with a great partnership with the Guard and Reserve. I actually have 31 VA staff members and 17 Air Force Guard and Reserve, specifically from the 934th Air Medical Staging Squadron, and then also medics and staff from the 109th Air Evac Squadron and the 133rd Medical Group from the Air National Guard. So we can't do this event without our DOD partnership with the VA. So our services that we're providing today so far with, verified right before getting on the air with you, that so far 700 vets have come to the event today. 83 have gone through the VA clinic as of 12:30 on the first day, and we've had 16 check in for eligibility. These are veterans that may be eligible for VA health care that didn't know before that they were eligible. So that's always a win for us every year that we have 10 to 20 new veteran patients that we're able to find out eligibility or sign up on the spot here. We are, as far as services, doing glucose tests. We're doing HIV tests. We have three oral surgeons, so dental checks, and the visor program, which is a limited or low sight program or for the blind. We have a representative here. And then I help support all of our other VA entities that are here, different agencies like the Homeless Veteran Program, OEF, OIF, the suicide prevention program that's outside our door at the clinic here. Our impact every year, so far this morning, we actually identified a diabetic patient that had to be transported to the emergency department of our hospital. Last year we had a veteran that didn't realize he had high blood pressure and was actually having a hypertensive event during the event and was ambulanced out. So, you know, caring for the homeless is really important, or those that may not seek health care as often as you'd like to be seen by a doctor. So this event affords them to at least be seen and then follow up with more advanced care.
Now, David, I understand you're a veteran of the United States Air Force.
Yes, I was able to come in and serve 20 years active duty, retired, and 1 month before 9/11, I was actually contacted to come back in, took my physical after 9/11, and rejoined under the Air Force Reserves. There's a little-known program under the 2000 Defense Act that was called Retirees to Reserves Program. So there's about 3,000 of us in the world that were given the privilege to come back in, and I served until 2010 with the 934th Air Medical Staging Squadron, and ended up as the superintendent E8 with them. And today, I still continue to serve by overseeing 7 sharing agreements where we have Air Force members that come to the Minneapolis VA to do their clinicals. It's pretty interesting. If you look at the map in the Midwest, there's only Grand Forks or Offutt Air Force Base as far as locations where military medical could go to, and otherwise they have to leave the 5-state region to go elsewhere. So we save about $6,000 a year to the Minnesota taxpayer by having their son or daughter come to the Minneapolis VA and do their clinicals there, to the tune of about $100,000 this year so far saved by having them come to work with our patients. So it's a great program we have, and those military medics then can in turn come and help with this, events like this as a stand-down.
David, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Senior Master Sergeant David Adrianson a little more about the stand-down from the Minneapolis Boy Scout Base Camp at Fort Snelling. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with retired Senior Master Sergeant David Adrianson from the Boy Scout Base Camp at Fort Snelling for the 11th MACV Standdown. And Sergeant Adrianson, how long now have you been with the VA Medical Center?
12 years that I've been with the VA so far, and then a total of 33 with the Air Force.
And Sergeant, did you volunteer for this duty to come over on these stand-downs?
Yes, I was one that raised my hand. So the fact that over the last 8 years I've been overseeing military clinicals at the VA, it was a nice matching where I was able to have the contacts with all the local military medical units, and then to do that partnership where they were able to come in. And so it's a 50-50 where they'll come in with their staff and joining with VA staff. So we have Dr. Boyum here as one of our VA doctors, and then the staffing is part VA, part Air Force nurses, and then medical techs from the Air Force. So it's been great to work together. And then we have some U of M VA dental residents that are here supporting for dental exams.
Now, David, we've seen veterans come in the door all morning, and they go over and they register, and Kathy said that they verify that they're veterans and then talk to them about the issues. Do you see veterans that maybe have not gotten their eligibility for the VA at these stand-downs?
Oh, yes. From this event, and I've also worked the VA booth at the state fair every year, and the average person at the state fair I know is somebody who comes up who's 65, and they'll say, I just turned 65, what are my benefits? So they, mainly Vietnam-era vets that when they came back from the war, maybe, you know, had bad events with the VA or just didn't seek care or didn't need care, or the care that they received at that point wasn't good care for them. Now they're returning back to the VA, and it's a different VA today. I'm not only a retiree, a veteran, a VA employee as well, and I'm a patient at the Minneapolis VA.
So you've seen all sides of this.
I've seen it, and you know, my experience 3 years ago, I had a heart attack at the VA and survived that, and from great care there. So I'm a little vested in that as well.
Well, if you're going to have one, that's the place to do it, I suppose.
Yeah, and my training story is I was in charge of training all the people in CPR and responding to codes. And when I came to, the people around me, the angels in the room was everybody I trained. So it's a great training story that, you know, military training, or in this case VA training, life support training, pays off.
Did a good job. But now, some of the veterans, you said one or two of them this morning needed some emergency care already, and there's a whole variety of things that you're seeing?
Oh, yeah. Normally, we will see people that aren't in check with their glucose, so diabetic patients, epileptic, those who are just, you know, not keeping in line with their meds in a homeless situation. So
blood pressure issues,
pressure, et cetera. And that can be a silent ticker that, like I said, last year we had one that had to be ambulanced out. So it's a great event where we're able to look at that, do it from a health screening standpoint, from the glucose, HIV, just health issues, that we can provide some feedback from our physician here or our dentist for dental care.
David, we saw Director Kelly in here about an hour ago, so I would guess you've got the full support of everyone at the VA Medical Center to be over here to all the stand-downs, or these stand-downs, and help our veterans.
Yeah, and as a retired Navy commander, he's very supportive, and I worked directly under him for this event, and I have all that support, so it's nice to be here.
David, just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, it's just, once again, thank you for all the volunteers that come here. Thank you for highlighting this event, and we look forward to a good 2 days of helping our veterans.
Our pleasure. Thanks for joining us. That was David Adrianson from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Megan Henning from the Wells Fargo Volunteers at the stand-down at the Fort Snelling Base Camp for this MACV event. Megan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
I understand that Wells Fargo has been supporting the stand-downs with MACV for quite a few years.
Yes, yeah, we've been out here 10-plus years. I've been here 8 of those years, so I know we've been a supporter of it for quite some time.
And what kind of things does Wells Fargo do here?
So one of the things we do is we supply a large number of their volunteers. This year we are expecting to have 160 volunteers over the course of 2 days and the setup day in addition to that. And we also have a donation drive where we hand out hygiene kits and socks and essential items like T-shirts, underwear, snack foods, those kinds of things. And so we're handing out gift bags for each of the veterans that come through.
Now, can you think back 8 years? What did you think the first year you came out here when you volunteered to interact with veterans and homeless veterans?
Yeah, I was pretty excited to come here for my first time. I've always been a passionate supporter of military and veterans, so I was excited, and I was surprised by how much need was there and also how much was here and how organized it was. There are lots of service providers providing all kinds of aid to veterans, whether they're homeless or not, between the legal services and haircuts. And it was really a wonderful event with a lot of passionate people to help the veterans, for sure. And so it was pretty exciting. We actually had the event outdoors. We had military tents up, and it was a different environment then. But we've definitely evolved, and we've grown. From my first year, I think it was about 200 veterans, and now it's over 1,000. So
pretty nice in this building at the Boy Scout base camp, isn't it?
Yes, it's definitely a privilege to have this place.
Now, I understand you've got all kinds of veterans in your family.
I do. I have several. My grandfather, a brother-in-law, uncle, cousin, several family and friends otherwise. So I've seen a lot of people who have gone through both being active duty and then being a veteran as well. And so I have a lot of respect for that.
So that's how you got into this, and you're smiling a big smile. So
yeah,
apparently
definitely.
You like what you're doing.
Absolutely, yes. This is something I look forward to every year.
Now, Megan, can you tell us, I understand that your volunteers were involved in the setup yesterday, and you're going to be here today and tomorrow.
Yep, we have a lot of trucks that will come deliver supplies. We have chairs and tables to set up. There's military surplus clothes that need to be sorted and civilian clothes that were donated. So we spent a lot of time with the group here getting everything ready to go for the event. And so when 8 o'clock opened up this morning, everybody was ready.
Now, I noticed you showed me a whole list of things that you're doing today and tomorrow. Can you run through those for
our listeners? Absolutely. Yeah. So a number of different things. We help with registration. So there's an assessment done with each veteran that comes through our event here. And so we're helping getting them registered, take an assessment. Also directing folks that are coming off the light rail or the bus routes, getting them shuttled if they're not able to walk to the site. Greeting veterans at the door. This is one of the most important, is really making veterans feel welcome when they come here, that there's a safe place for them to have camaraderie with other veterans and get services that they need, walking them around if they need to find where they're going, having a bag check so they get lots of goodies while they're here, and sometimes it gets to be a little burdensome to carry around all those items. So we have a bag check where we check it all in and they can pick it up when they're ready to go. There's several meals here served each day, and so we have folks going and cooking and picking up and helping bus tables, help sit and converse with veterans while they're eating, which is one of the things that we actually do an orientation of our veteran or our volunteers every year. And so that's one of the things I encourage our volunteers to make sure they're doing is saying hello and thanking veterans for their service and spending time with them, hearing their stories. Some of that is the most important interactions that they have with them. Handing out hygiene kits, clothing distribution, just providing general stand down information, banking information. We actually have a recruiting from Wells Fargo here helping. They have a commitment by 2020 to hire and have in our staff at Wells Fargo 20,000 veterans. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to promote with that, connecting military positions with positions that are at Wells Fargo. We also have hands-on banking, which is a financial literacy education program that we have at Wells Fargo. So we're offering those services as well.
We're speaking with Megan Henning, one of the Wells Fargo volunteers at the MACV stand-down on Minnesota Military Radio. Megan, I understand that Wells Fargo has been committed to helping military and veterans for over 50 years.
Yes. Yeah, it's incredible. It's definitely wonderful to be working for a company that provides so much support.
And they spend a lot of time and money and a lot of volunteer hours as well.
That's definitely true. Each Wells Fargo employee actually is given two community support days as a part of their PTO package, and they're able to come in, out here and volunteer on company hours, which is wonderful.
That's pretty good. You didn't have to take vacation.
No, no, veterans. That's right.
Now, we've just got a minute or so left. Can you tell our listeners how important is this day every year to you? You've been coming here for 8 years.
It's very important to me. I get the fortunate opportunity to hear lots of stories from veterans and see their smiling faces when we're able to give them something that they really need. As when you think of what a fresh pair of socks can give somebody that's homeless and on the street, it's a pretty powerful thing. And makes you tear up sometimes when you see how much something so simple can to make someone's day.
Megan, I wish I could tell the listeners how big a smile you have on your face, but clearly this is important to you. And I'd like to thank you for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Megan Henning, one of the Wells Fargo volunteers from the MACV stand-down. Please stay with us. We'll be back with a former homeless veteran, and we'll get our weekly message from Commissioner Shelato. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to a former homeless veteran. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
A time capsule filled with artifacts preserved for future veterans was buried earlier this summer at our Minneapolis Veterans Home. Residents, families, and the veterans community were involved in selecting the items that were included in the time capsule. This burial ceremony signifies the halfway mark of a three-phase campus redevelopment at the Minneapolis Veterans Home. In the end of May, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs received the final $36 billion in federal funding to complete the final phase of construction. For more information on the campus vision and construction phases, visit our website at minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is a retired case manager from MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, and who is now a volunteer for MACV, and he is a veteran of the United States Air Force, Doran Hocker. Doran, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Doran, can you share with us? I understand you joined the Air Force in 1971.
Yeah. To be honest with you, that's something I wanted to do my whole life because my father was an Army Air Corps, and he was a bombardier in the Pacific Theater, and I always wanted to go. But unfortunately, I didn't get my calling right then. I got drafted. And I said, no, I'm not going to the Army, no offense. But, yeah, I joined the Air Force and did what I wanted to do, went in my father's footsteps.
And where did you serve in the Air Force?
Okay, I first went, my basic was in Lackland. And then from there, I went to tech school in Keesler Air Force Base, Mississippi. Then my first PCS was MacDill when they used to have Strike Command there. And they were sending, that's where they was giving the orders to send all the troops over to Southeast Asia at the time. I was there about a year and a half, and then I got my orders. Well, first I went on PCS, which means...
Permanent Duty Station.
Yeah, Permanent Duty Station to Kunshan, Korea. Then I was TDY all over Southeast Asia from there. Thailand, yeah.
Temporary duty into Southeast Asia.
Yeah, just about everywhere. Japan, Vietnam, Korea.
Yeah. How long had that gone for? A year or two?
Yeah, about 2 years. Okay. About 2 years.
And then you finally got a chance to come home.
Yep. And they offered me, I had less than 9 months, I think, to go. And they said, they offered me, did I want to go to, I think it was Andrews Air Force Base, or get my discharge at Travis. I said, yeah, I'll go for my discharge at Travis. I was married at the time, too, and I'd never seen my daughter. And she was just born when I was overseas. So I said, yeah, I'll get my discharge.
Now, Duran, we were talking earlier that you worked with MACV for quite some time, but mm-hmm. when you came back from the service, somehow or other you ended up being homeless for a while.
Yeah, that's when I first went into some trouble. I didn't know it at the time, but when I first got back from overseas, the first thing I did when I got back, we landed in Travis Air Force Base. I got over and I kissed the ground.
Back in the world.
Yeah, back in the world. I had waited so long to get back here. But as soon as I got home, that's when all the problems started happening. I didn't know it at the time. My grandmother was a nurse, and I couldn't sleep at night. So she would prescribe to me some sleeping medication, and it never seemed to work. I didn't find out till later that I was in a blast when I was overseas, and some of the tissue was cut loose. You know, so my I forgot exactly what they were calling those things. But and the medicine didn't work physically on me. So I started self-medicating and started drinking heavily. And then I started going to using drugs. And it was a downward spiral ever since 1974, about 6 months after. Because when I got back from service, me and my wife started having problems. And we separated within, I'd say, about 4 or 5 months.
So, Doran, and you ended up being homeless for a couple of decades.
Yeah. About a year after I got back, I tried to get my first apartment. That didn't last but 3 months. The next thing I know, I was drinking on the street. And I was caught, well, sleeping with friends and family for the next, and traveling around the country for the next 30 years, really. I didn't watch her, but my daughter grew up. We would talk on the phone, but I didn't get a chance to hug her for almost a quarter of a century. That's how bad it had become. And
how did you finally get off the streets?
I was on the streets in Detroit. Some guys, I was on the gutter. Some guys had come by and threw some change at me and said, hey, it gets better later. And that opened my eyes. And I said, I need to change something, but I couldn't do it here. It was like I was in a toilet stool with all types of human degradation, and somebody had flushed it, and I couldn't get out myself. So I just asked for some help. I called my brother who was here in St. Paul. I said, I need somewhere to go, just to rest. And he said, okay, yeah, come on, brother. You can stay with me for a while. But when I got here, his lifestyle was out of control just as much as mine. So then I went to a place, the Dorothy Day Center, downtown St. Paul. And I met a guy from the VA hospital there. He said, are you serious about changing your life? I said, yeah. So he arranged for me to go up to St. Cloud for treatment up there. And I was up there for about, well, actually I stayed for 2 months. And once I got out of treatment there, I didn't know what to do from there, where to go. Because I knew I couldn't go back home. That was out, because I knew what would happen once I did that. So then he set me up with a guy, Nathaniel Saltz, and MACV. Nathaniel said, come on, stay down here. We'll do what we can to help you. Once I got down here, he started going through some didactics daily with me. And I would walk. He put me in the seal house, which is exactly 15 blocks away. I remember very well because I had to walk it every day to get the training that he had and walk it back. But there, Nathaniel's the one who instructed me on ways of building relationships, finances, things like that. Things I had never utilized before in my life. Because I went into service when I was 19, so I never was really on my own. or really had any stable life as an adult. But he helped me get those tools that I needed to get back on my feet. And once I did, then I started with an income and got into some sober housing. And then started going from there. Then I found employment. Before I was offered the job at MACV, I was still working with veterans. And I see a lot of veterans on the street and saying, okay, yeah, I know something that can help you. So I would bring them in MACV. Once I started doing that, then I was offered a job. I worked so well with veterans. They said, okay, well, come on in. We'll give you a job. I started there on the weekends. And then an opportunity came where I could case manage some guys. And that came in. And from there, the rest is history.
We're speaking with Duran Hacker, a former homeless veteran on Minnesota Military Radio. And Duran, when you talked about going to work for MACV after you got off the streets and got yourself squared away with the help of Nathaniel, and all of a sudden you started helping other veterans, and things got a little clearer, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. When the vets started coming in, it was a mirror of myself. And they would come in, and I understood sometimes that when you want to stop and change your lifestyle and your ways, you can't do it. Because I tried for 20 years. Every week I say, no, this isn't right. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to stop. And I would try something else. But I was just lying to myself. And I know how a veteran feels when he's so tired and he wants to do something different. But how? How do you get out of it?
You need some help.
Yeah, you need some help. Because my thinking, if I could help myself, then it would have happened. Something had to change and give me instruction on how to do that. And that's one thing only a veteran can do for another veteran. Civilians, bless their little souls. I do love them. That's what we fought for. But,
Duran, we just got about a minute left. How important is this stand down to all the veterans coming in and out?
It's extremely important. It gives them, many of them come through here, like I said, don't know what to do next. There's people here they can communicate with other veterans to say, okay, this is the way, the things that you need to do. The first thing they need to have is stabilization. There's organizations here who can stabilize them, get them off the street, and from there we can take these baby steps to see what else is that you need, like employment, psychological counseling, drug counseling, or things like this. This is the first thing that they can do when they get here.
Duran, it's been a pleasure to meet you today. I'm glad you went to work for MACV. I'm glad you're back off the streets and helping all these other veterans. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure helping them.
It was Duran Hacker from the MACV stand down at the Minneapolis Boy Scout Base Camp. The Homeless Veteran Registry works by connecting federal, state, county, and nonprofit partners in a shared goal of providing housing and services to veterans and their families. Once a veteran is in the registry, these partners work together in a case management approach to create successful and sustainable housing solutions. Veterans can join the registry directly or be referred. Anyone who knows a homeless veteran is encouraged to call 1-888-LINK-VET or visit the registry webpage at minnesotaveteran.org. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. We've been broadcasting today from the MACV stand-down at the Boy Scout Base Camp in Fort Snelling. We've got a whole list of folks that joined us today, and I appreciate every one of them, especially Duran Hacker for joining us. And, of course, Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we go to the Tartan Park Golf Course in Lake Elmo for the annual Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.